On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name is Jamie.
My name is Caitlin.
And this is our podcast about how women are portrayed in movies.
Yeah, it's the Bechdelcast.
It is. And so today,
this is my first time talking to anybody today, so that's
why.
I don't know how to string a sentence together.
I talked to someone at the DMV today. He was very nice. His name was Arnold, and he is like, "Why don't you have a driver's license?" And I was like, "Honestly, it's a really long story." And he was like, "Okay, don't worry about it. It's fine." So we're very close now.
Good.
Yeah.
Last time I was at the DMV, I cried in
public. No.
Because I failed the written test. You have to take, like in California, I had to switch over my Massachusetts license. And I had to retake the written test, which I did not pass because they asked me questions
that
were not relevant to me at all. They're like, "How do you strap in a car seat?" or something like that. And I was like, "I ain't never having kids."
Was that not an option?
That was not an option.
That was not an
option. They did not let me choose that. That was not like F. Ain't never having kids.
Unbelievable.
I know.
The system is rigged.
It really is.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to Arnold at Window 4 at the Glendale DMV. He saw my birth certificate today, which is good. It's amazing I still have it because I've been passing it around at stand-up stuff recently just to like...
Why?
I don't know. But I don't know. People enjoy it though.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, should we talk about movies?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Take it All right. Let's talk about movies.
Yes.
As we mentioned, this is a podcast about the portrayal of female characters in movies.
Sure is.
Whoops. A lot of movies don't do it very well.
Sure don't.
And we're going to call it out. But this movie actually does. Well, we'll talk about it.
Wee-wee.
But we're here with a guest. And let's introduce her.
Okay.
Again, I'm very bad at talking today. I wish I was drunk. Okay.
Where's the mic's hard?
That's where is
the
it?
Question. Where is the mic's hard?
Anyway, our guest here with us today, she's a very funny stand-up comic. She is a writer on The Late Late Show with James Corden, and she has her own podcast called Angry Little Goats, which she co-hosts with Will Weldon, who you might remember from our Mad Max Fury Road episode.
A friend of the cast.
The
episode we got all that hate mail about.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, from all those steampunks.
And now we have a new friend of the cast, our guest, Eliza Skinner.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
What kind of, did you really get hate mail when Will came on?
Well, it wasn't specifically about
him. It wasn't directed
as much as we would love to blame him for it.
No, I think I was the target of
most
of the vitriol. Well, because we did Mad Max Fury Road was the episode we did with Will. And I guess called out the steampunk culture a little too hard. I guess I was a little too tough on the steampunks. And apparently the steampunks are listening to the podcast.
Hello, steampunks.
Hey, shout out to all you dirty steampunks out there. We still have beef. I think that maybe steampunks, that's the only okay prejudice to have is versus steampunks.
I think it's, I don't even know if it's that much of a real thing. Like, I worked on a show one
time. You're preaching to the choir.
Where we were like, hey, we need to find steampunk people. Like, as far as like a lifestyle thing. And we couldn't find anybody. We ended up finding one lady who, when she showed up, she's like, oh, no, this isn't my life. I just have this outfit and get paid to wear it for parties sometimes. I'm like, oh, well,
there are festivals.
Where are you people?
I got a group onto a steampunk festival once because I just wanted to face my fears.
Did you go?
Yeah, I went.
What?
Was it super fun?
It was in Massachusetts. It wasn't. It was upset. Everyone, there were just gears and suede vests. It was disgusting. It made me sick.
Well, hey, the movie we're talking about, I think, has no trace of steampunk culture.
No steampunk culture in this one.
Yay for that.
Space culture.
A lot of space culture. Because the movie we're talking about is Alien.
Yay!
From 1979, directed by Ridley Scott. Eliza.
Yes.
When did you first see this movie? What's your history with it?
Gosh, I don't know. I must have probably seen it for the first time in high school. I remember when Aliens came out because the cover of Mad Magazine was like one of the first Mad Magazines I I had. They did a parody of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand at all, but I was like fascinated. So then when I was older, I saw that.
So you saw Aliens before Alien.
Yes.
Got it.
So yeah, I must have been in high school when I finally saw Alien.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jamie?
Yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As
do you like sci-fi?
I don't even know that I like movies very much.
Okay.
I like cartoons and television. But I
and true crime.
And true crime. Yeah. Yes.
So did you know, what did you know about it going into it?
I knew that I had to keep reminding myself that it was not Aliens, which I watched the first 10 minutes of before realizing I should be watching Alien.
Oh, shoot. That spoiled so much stuff for you.
Yeah. I mean, it did. But also, sci-fi is like not my area of extreme interest. So I was sort of going into this one like, all right, we're gonna
forcing
get through
yourself
this.
Through it.
We're gonna get through this, Jamie. It's gonna be fine. I got some Jack in the Box. I hunkered down and watched the first 10 minutes of Aliens, and then all
and
of
you're
it.
Like, why is Bill Paxton in this?
Oh my god! And then I wanted to watch Big Love, but it wasn't an option. Time was of the essence.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Because one of the interesting things I think about Alien is that initially watching it. Audiences didn't know who the protagonist was going to be.
Right. Yeah.
So it kind of unfolds in an interesting way, the evolution of each character.
I had enough peripheral knowledge of like Sigourney Weaver. I knew who was the focus, but other than that, I was just like, it takes place in space. And there's a movie that is frustratingly sounds exactly like it that I will get confused with.
But it's space working class.
It's true. Yes. It's,
yeah, they're like ore miners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What type of ore? We don't know.
Not important.
Space ore.
Space ore. Moon ore.
Mm-hmm. Moon or not moon.
I saw the movie, I think, probably in college for the first time. And I think I saw Aliens like right after it, too. But those are the only two I've seen. I have not.
I'll be honest. I prefer Aliens.
I think I do, too. I think that Alien is the better movie, mm-hmm. and certainly better acted, because my goodness, does Bill Paxton give an insane performance in Aliens. But
don't talk shit about that. I will flip out.
I mean, he's enjoyable to watch. He's given some pretty cheesy dialogue, and his acting is extremely over the top, which I think is perfectly appropriate
for that
type of
movie. Have you seen him in Twister? He's awful. he's capable of performances that range from bad to good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's all Bill Paxton for
Rest
you.
In peace.
R.I.P. But yeah, I think Aliens is definitely more my speed of like an action,
yeah,
guns and stuff. Again, I'm very good with words today.
But and they're creeping around.
Yeah. It's honestly, I did not ever really draw this parallel until a recent rewatch of Aliens, but it is quite similar to Jurassic Park in terms of its like story structure, at least, which is one of my favorite movies ever. So I was like, oh, man, this is basically just like Jurassic Park, but with aliens instead of dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jamie, did you like the movie? Did you like Alien?
I did. I enjoyed it as much as I could enjoy a sci-fi movie. Like, it's definitely not my wheelhouse, but I you know, it's like once you get into it, you're like, okay, there's going to be a creature. It's going to be covered in goop. We're going to beat the creature up. More goop. So I was ready for creatures and goop.
Sure.
So I enjoyed it.
What is your wheelhouse, if that's not?
My wheelhouse is kind of all over the board. I like old. I mean, most of the movies I like are older, which we don't usually cover here.
Like mid-century older, like
yeah, like okay. 40s and 50s.
Oh, okay.
Is
much
my
better
jam.
Female characters back then.
Sometimes
much more complex.
Yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
times I think they let them be. More.
They at least have personalities, even when they're confined to the house.
I love sci-fi, but I have a real bias against boy stories.
Yeah.
Stories that are just like all about dudes from a male point of view. Like I don't look at them and then judge them. I just honestly cannot connect with them.
Right.
But I love sci-fi. And so I've found a lot of sci-fi that kind of works around that for me, especially books.
Yeah.
You've probably even like my love of sci-fi books kind of brought me into
that makes
liking
sense.
Movies a little bit more.
Well, it's time for the
Caitlin recap.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do.
This story revolves around a crew on a spacecraft called the Nostromo. And they have just come back from mining the moon ore or whatever. They're woken up from their, like, hyper sleep because there's a distress signal or something like that coming from a planet. They're like, oh, man, we got to go check it out. And it's a crew of seven people. There's Dallas, played by Tom Skerritt. He's the captain. Then we've got Brett, which is Harry Dean Stanton. Kane is played by John Hurt. Ash is Ian Holm. Parker is Yaphet Kotto. Then we've got Ripley. AKA Sigourney Weaver, and then Lambert, which is Veronica Cartwright, and don't forget Jonesy the cat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the crew.
And introducing
Jonesy as himself.
You know that apparently that it was originally all male characters.
It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, it was written all supposedly written gender neutral, but that means men. They wrote the male as men. And I've heard one of the drafts of it was done by Walter Hill, who did 48 Hours, another 48 Hours, and Streets of Fire, and a bunch of stuff. And he just changed, he and his writing partner changed those two characters into women, but then didn't change any of the other dialogue, which
interesting.
I think is, like a smart thing to be taken away from that. I mean, Amy Poehler at one point, I know, is famously quoted as saying, someone was like, they don't know how to write for women. She was like, just write a man and then give it a woman's name.
Yeah. Just write a person.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Women are people. Yeah. Whoa, what? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy thing.
That's interesting. I mean, and that checks out with Ripley's character. Yeah. Because there's not, I don't know, she's not put upon as a, like, that's not central to the plot, which I thought was kind of refreshing. Like,
she's,
it is,
in fact, very, like, cold and unlikable.
Yeah, which you never get to see. I mean, or if you do, it's, like, extremely demonized, and that's very rarely, you know, the central character, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because people love bad boys.
They love a bad boy.
People love seven seasons of a prestige bad boy. But we never get even 90 minutes.
Of a bad girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to good recap.
Sorry.
It's okay. We encourage tangents. That's what this podcast is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on a ship and they're awoken because there's like a weird distress signal of some sort coming from a planet. So they go to check it out. And a few of the guys are like, oh, man, what's this weird alien ship that's on this planet? And John Hurt is like, oh, man, there's some weird pods. I better go look inside one. And then a weird hand alien is what I would like to describe it as.
Sure.
Attaches itself to John Hurt's face.
A face hugger.
A little face hugger.
That's what we call them, face huggers.
And they're like, oh, geez, John, let's get you back to the ship. But and Ripley.
It goes straight through his helmet.
Yeah.
It's quite the face hug.
It is a very intimate face hug.
Those and the pods are like the beginning of the overt sexual imagery. Really, really gross.
Oh, yeah. There's
because
some.
Pussies are gross.
Pussies are disgusting.
And they lay it on thick here. Oh, yeah.
So they're like, we got to get John back on the ship. And Ripley's like, oh, that's kind of like breaking protocol. He's got to go through quarantine.
She straight up is like, no way.
Yeah.
That's against protocol. That's not happening. No. And it all, like, everything would have been fine. If they just listened to her, but everybody was like, what a cunt.
Yeah.
Like, yikes. Rules were made to be broken, so we all get killed by aliens. Be cool about it, Rip.
Yeah, totally. So they let him, the face-hugged John Hurt, onto the spacecraft.
Sure.
And he's in a coma, and they're like, how do we get this thing off? And they try to cut it off, and then it bleeds acid. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, fuck, man, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden, he's alive and well again. So they're like, oh, this is fine. And then he gives birth through his chest, basically.
Yeah. There's a lot of birth. In
oh yeah
this, yeah there's
lots of dicks, lots of pussies, lots of birth. The when the face hugger's on him, you know, like, so like, you know, what's happening is
he's impregnating.
So he's like basically shoving his face hugger dick down his throat. Kind
yeah.
of. And what one of the things I find kind of funny about it is after it dies, like after it falls off and it's just like dead.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, dude, I get it.
We like, have all been there.
Snooze City, right? At this point, just like, don't even touch me. I just want to be a dead spider thing. Because I already jizzed down your throat. So that's it for me.
Speaking of jizz.
ooh, slick transition.
Oh. Ian Holm, a.k.a. Ash, a.k.a. the fucking cyborg robot guy.
Spoiler!
Full of jizz.
Yeah, he's got jizz blood.
Oh, man, so much
It's the worst kind
blood.
Of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no... Will and I actually talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago that we're like, what's the worst kind of sci-fi blood? And we were both like, milk blood! But it's really jizz blood.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Totally.
And then he's all covered with it.
Yeah.
Skipping ahead.
I took a few screenshots there. Yeah. Just for, you know, I feel like that's the kind of screenshot
when someone's trying to get
away.
get you to send them like a sexy.
Right. I'd be like, oh, wow, me after seeing your fucking gross dick pic.
I'm just covered in jizz goop, spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So John Hurt's like, man, things are great. And then he, an alien bursts out of his chest, killing him. And then the alien's like, all right, see ya. I'm going to go hide over here now. So they're like, oh, shit, we got to go catch this thing. And the crew starts looking for it. And somehow in a span of
like,
what
aliens.
Seems like a few hours. Yeah.
Come here.
It grows to adulthood in, I don't know, a day or something. It's crazy.
They all grow so fast.
Yeah.
It feels like a day, but
I feel like they don't place enough, like, you know, like coming of age nostalgia in regards to how quickly
they really don't. I
the
wanted
little
to
baby
see
grows
that
up.
Alien's journey.
Where was
to
boyhood?
Adulthood?
Where was boyhood?
I never realized until you just said that that was the same alien. I was just like, suddenly there's all these aliens on the ship.
Yeah,
like, no, I didn't get that it was the same one who grew up.
Yeah,
because I'm dumb.
No, I mean they don't. It's confusing because it's literally a baby fetus alien, basically, and then. In the next scene, you see it, which is presumably a few hours later.
It's not really
addressed.
Cool
it's,
to have gotten like a few, like some like screeching, growing pain sort of moments
right.
of it. I feel like that would have been cool, like a shadowy, like or like found some leftover skins.
Well, Harry Dean Stanton does do that. He's,
oh, well, there
he,
we
he
go.
Like, yeah, but
again,
it's,
I was probably
small.
Like, it's all the aliens. There's so many of them.
That's like a sci-fi horror trope that I like when creatures are growing and then you see like their shoulder blade like pop out mm-hmm. and
ooh,
they
yeah.
shed and there's more goop. I think that's my generalization of the genre.
Just goop.
All that pussy goop.
All that goop.
It's pussy goop.
Yeah, pussy goop. And a little dick goop, too.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the full-size alien is a dick with a pussy with a dick.
Yeah.
Is this for children?
No.
Yes, we have an audience that reaches like ages 7 to 12.
Okay,
so we're gonna have to cut
the alien.
Our podcast on Radio
Disney. Alien is a nanny with a cuckoo and a nanny.
I have never heard any of those words to describe any genitalia.
I'm having fun.
Good. I was like, oh no, am I missing things?
But they sounded right?
They sounded good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That sounded like a fun way to tell a child what to call their dick.
Totally. Hey, nani, nani, and that's a cuckoo.
Yeah.
Wait, which one's which? Nani is...
I think a nani is a dick and a
okay,
cuckoo
cool,
is a
cool,
vagina.
Cool.
Oh, see, I was seeing it the other... Man.
Okay, we could do
we're
it the
learning.
Other way.
I was thinking cuckoo because
like a cock?
I was thinking of a woodpecker. Yeah, maybe it was... Okay. I don't know. You know, either way.
You know what? Fluidity. Anything could be anything.
Yeah.
So the crew goes off looking for this alien, and they basically get killed one by one. And then Ripley's like, all right, well, I guess I got to fix everything. And then she escapes into the shuttle, but oh, surprise. And the alien's there, and she's like, well, fuck you then. And she blows out into space, and the end. So only she and Jonesy the cat survive.
Except, yeah. Do you know the original ending?
No.
The original ending was, you know, she, like, makes her final, like, little statement in the log. The original ending is that the same statement,
mm-hmm.
but then the camera reveals that the voice is coming out of the alien's mouth.
Whoa.
That she is dead and the alien is the only one who's living, and somehow the alien knows how to talk like
which is
silly. It's the goofiest thing.
That's a good
but,
alien
but yeah, and the studio was like, that seems goofy, let's not do that, and also it's a bummer. So
see, they I would have. I feel like if Sigourney Weaver's character was a man, I wouldn't mind that ending very much.
Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah.
It would just, or it would bother me less, because that's still like a hokey ending of like the alien it learned to speak English, which actually is kind of inspiring in its way.
Sure. Well, it grew that fast. Yeah. I mean, it should have a few degrees by the end of the movie.
Exactly. The alien should have a PhD.
I mean, it's now a good time to mention my master's degree in screenwriting. Oh, I don't like to bring it up, but you guys were the ones who mentioned it. So
I don't think I did.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's crazy that we did not
mention my
make
master's.
An for that comment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would disagree. Anyway, so...
Oh, also the chest burster scene. Mm-hmm. I can't be the only person in the world who experienced seeing Spaceballs before seeing this.
I also.
Yeah. Yes. So when it happened in Spaceballs, yes. I didn't understand it, but I was like, hilarious. And my mom was like, well, it's from this movie. And I was like, don't spoil it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I definitely saw Spaceballs long before I saw Alien and did not really get the reference. But now that I've seen Alien, oh, that seems even more hilarious. Yeah. There is another like spoofy parody movie that you may be familiar with, Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part Deux. Hot Shots Part Deux is one of my favorite movies ever. And it
Part Deux?
Part Deux. Mm-hmm. And it parodies a number of films that I had not seen when I was, but I still thought it was the funniest movie ever. I was like, man, this is hilarious. And then I didn't understand any of the references. Cool story, Caitlin. Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
So this is basically a movie about Ripley, like the strong female character, being like, hey, you guys, you're dumb. We should do this thing that's the right choice. And everyone's like, no.
Everybody's like, that's really unlikable and it's unattractive.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, but it's the right thing to do. And they're like, we don't like you and you're never going to have your own TV show. And then I'm like, no, wait, this is about her, not me. Making it way too personally.
I mean, can we presume that the reason that the rest of the crew is always like, no, Ripley, we're doing it our way. Who cares about standard procedure? Can we presume that it's because she's a woman? Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think it's because she's a woman, because it is like the compassionate choice when they do that. Mm-hmm. It's never like, should we have cake or pie? It's like, should we let somebody
try to
die?
Save this guy's life
right now. Yeah. And so I will say that I don't think it's because she's a woman. And I think that's part of the like future utopia that they're trying to sell us, where it's like, look, there's all kinds of different ages of people and races of people and they all work together and genders of people, mm-hmm. and they get respected just as like whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not super surprising to hear that the characters were sort of written with the intention of being not genderless, but could be a man or a woman, just because, yeah, Sigourney Weaver being a woman does not seem to factor in that much in the way that she's treated. I think that like what's most interesting about her character that wouldn't be interesting per se if she was a man was the coldness and like the clinical, like by the book attitude that, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that would be a character as a man, but it wouldn't be unusual.
Yeah. She's straight up unlikable. And yeah. They literally don't have her save the cat until the end. You must understand that with your degree.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. And again, when I think it must have been so cool to see it and not know anything about it and just be like, who's that bitch? And I guess it's about this Dallas guy. He's the captain. I'm sure that's who this story is all about. Or, you know, these fun-loving engineer fellas or rapscallions.
Yeah. Wait, so you guys find her unlikable?
Because... Yeah, I think they kind of like paint her as
they
unlikable.
They do, but
she goes on a journey.
And for sure, but I don't know. I'm like, I was on board with her from like minute one. I'm like, yeah, they shouldn't bring this guy who's been attacked by this face-hugging alien creature. Yeah, it's probably going to end poorly. Maybe do I think this because of what I know of horror sci-fi movies? Maybe.
I mean, it's not called Ship with No Alien on it.
Right.
Like, right.
You know,
a
when you're starting
trip.
It, something's happening.
Directed by Ridley Scott.
It could also be that I am an unapologetic rule follower because I'm terrified of authority and I'm just like,
Caitlin, you do love rules.
I love rules.
You do love
rules. I wish I didn't. I hate myself because I do.
I say, F the rules.
Oh,
I like to buck authority.
I'm actually the same way, and I did find that a way to kind of relate to her and respect her, but you could also see the whole rest of the crew was like in it for each other and like looking out for each other. Yeah. And she's the one who's being the jerk.
The way I saw that dynamic was like, she's the boss and the boss does not break the rules. And all the, I guess, subordinates, as it were, are way more likely to break the rules.
But she's not even the boss. Like, she's not the captain of the ship or anything like that. She's not even first in command until a few other people die.
Yeah.
No, Ash is like the science officer.
I thought she and Ash were sort of like counterparts.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I'm not entirely. Yeah, I don't really know what her role is.
Because they're the ones who she's like, they bicker about it because he clearly, being who and what he is like, no, get him in the ship.
A jizz-filled robot.
Let's get him in the ship. Yeah. I want to see. And then when they bring him in and it's that face hugger through the helmet is just like an egg with a vagina in it. It's like the most
this
weirdly
movie is like a very scary Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
Yeah. Apparently the pods, you know, the eggy pod things that they find.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of like open with the four petals. It originally was just two. It was just straight up vagina.
Labia majora.
Yeah. And again, the network was like, that's too much.
Add a couple extra flaps, gang.
Yeah. They said that they were scared they wouldn't be able to show it in like Catholic countries or something.
Oh, yeah. If double the flaps, double the fun. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got an audible laugh from Aristotle on that
one. Got it. You earned it, baby.
We know what he's into.
Aristotle loves double flaps.
Are you guys going to put that on a t-shirt? I'm suggesting you should put that on a t-shirt.
Yes.
Or an enamel pin. Those are hip now, right?
Oh, yeah. People love the pins.
Yeah.
But
a little picture of
passing
the egg, the pod, and a banner on it that says Aristotle loves double flaps.
And then just let the people interpret it as they will.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Geiger, H.R. Geiger. Is that his name? The designer?
Yes.
Yeah. He did all the like creepy space sex design.
There seemed to be, I mean, I don't know but like the practical effects in this movie were
great.
So cool.
Especially for that
good
era.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean, even the scene where Ash's head is off and his body is like flopping around, mm-hmm. And he's clearly just like there with like the head flap kind of over him, but it still looks kind of flawless.
Yeah,
it's
looks
great.
Cool. Yeah, because there's, I mean,
it's just a big mess
these days. I don't know. Like, it just looked real.
Well, they would have like CGI'd movie-ish the crap out of it, and then it would look fake,
and it would be yeah,
and the head would be floating.
Yeah, the only part where I was like, oh, this is kind of dumb, is like when the baby alien bursts out of the chest and like you see it kind of like scamper across the table.
Oh,
and
I like that.
I'm like, that's clearly like someone doing some puppetry that's not very good.
And you're like, ooh, cute baby.
Yeah. Or even the look, like it bursts out and it sort of looks at everyone like, hello, I'm a baby.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a very like not the mama kind of moment.
Yeah. Like, are you my mama?
Yeah.
And then
I'm the baby.
Or what's the Alison Bechdel book that I can never remember the name of?
It's Are You My Mother?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what it says when it bursts out of
that's
John
also
Hurt's
a Dr.
chest.
Seuss book.
Are you my mother?
Yeah.
I know that that Ripley is not like a warm character. She's like very by the book in terms of rule. And she does become like more.
In the director's cut, there's a scene where, oh man, what's the other woman's name?
Lambert.
Yeah, I knew something with an L. Where she straight up hits her when they come back in.
Yeah.
Just slaps her across the jaw.
Yeah, I made a note that like it was kind of a bummer to see like the two women characters that there are in this movie be kind of hostile to each other. But then I was like, wait, Ripley is just hostile towards everyone because she's almost always telling someone to fuck off or screaming at their face.
And it's justified. I think that, you know, women should, these female characters should be allowed to have to be a full range. Mm-hmm. They don't always. I also find it a little obnoxious when it's all like cat fighty, but I didn't feel like that was.
No, I don't think so.
What was happening here?
Yeah, that was just Ripley
and
being like.
If you want to be real technical about it, not the only female character.
Mother of the ship.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah.
I was really hoping Jonesy was a girl cat so we could just have one more.
Did they nail down what kind of cat?
No, I guess not. But maybe Jonesy, maybe. I just assumed, based on the name, that it was a boy cat. Yeah. But
and again, in Aliens, the cat becomes a little girl. I mean, it doesn't become a little girl, but like the
she
same.
She transfigures into a girl. That's
like the same role as
Harry Potter 1.
The same role is done, but or the plot device is little girl instead.
Right. Oh, and then and
the,
in Aliens,
the mother queen.
The queen alien. Bee is yeah. a lady
same,
alien.
Does she say, she calls mother a bitch in this. I think she calls the alien a bitch. To, like, get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Great line. Yeah. Basically, I just like how throughout the entire story, Ripley is given a bunch of agency. She's making decisions that are usually not obeyed, but she's definitely playing an active, like a very active role in the mm-hmm. story. So mm-hmm. we're used to seeing female characters like, you know, I want to, like, I'm just going to sit here and not really do anything.
You're
and
gonna
not
stress
really
about the decision.
Yeah. Right. But she's just like,
this is what we're doing.
Listen to me. Yeah. This is what has to happen. No one does, and mm-hmm. they pay the price for it.
Right.
Yeah, so I just thought it was super cool
yep.
to see her being like, fuck off, you guys. Listen to me. Here's the right choice. Do what I say.
You're painting a picture of yourself.
Yeah. Well, like, Ripley is badass. I wanted to talk a little bit about Lambert mm-hmm. because of I read some background on her character, because I guess that Veronica Cartwright arrived on set believing she was going to play Ripley.
Oh!
What? And then they were like, actually, sorry, bitch, you're Lambert. And she was not happy with it, and but particularly took issue with the character of Lambert and how Lambert is more fearful and expresses a lot of the fear. And I guess the function of that character or the way she was written was, you know, she represents the audience and like what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that Veronica Cartwright took issue with that of like, why does that have to be the only female character besides Ripley / why did no one tell me I'm not Ripley?
Yeah, I feel like right. That's the big question. That's
yeah.
actually what happened.
Yeah.
Because on the other hand, you could make a case for it's very interesting to have the audience to expect the audience to relate to these two female characters in the most significant ways
right.
in this sci-fi alien movie.
Instead, right.
Because, yeah, I didn't really feel any connection with any of the other ones, except maybe Ash, because we're introduced to him mostly as the one who's kind of pushing against Ripley. Everybody else was like, they seem like cool dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't
yeah,
really
they're
know.
They're all pals.
But, yeah. I also find it interesting that it's a very classist kind of movie that you, I mean, they kind mm-hmm. of move away from that, but the whole beginning is them being like, you know, how many shares do we get? Like, clearly they were willing to do whatever within reason just mm-hmm. to get this payday.
Right.
There's no executives aboard. There's no, right. like, higher socioeconomic class
yeah.
people in there. The guy who comes across as though he is, the one with the British accent, who seems much fancier, is not human.
Right.
It's not a person at all.
I love the fancy British intro. It's the best.
They couldn't program him to have an American accent.
No,
they're
like,
flaw in the design.
Right. They're like, he's fancy. And that's the hint that you should have picked up on the whole time. The only fancy one. Of course, he's an android.
Yes, they're an evil people.
Yes, the fancies. Oh, God. That's like Bill Nye in so many movies, especially my favorite bad movie, I, Frankenstein, where...
Oh, boy, is that a remarkably bad movie.
I love... Like, that's a fun one. That's a fun bad.
I got one of my biggest Twitter pops ever was after I walked out of that and tweeted that it was the best movie ever written by an Evanescence album in the Sega Genesis.
That's amazing.
And it's still one of my top ranking tweets.
It's, oh, man.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know why people cared about that movie.
Twice in theaters.
Why?
It was a fun one.
Oh, wow.
I liked it. And also, that was like the kind of peaceful cinematic experience where, like, there was never anyone else in the theater. I really got to experience I, Frankenstein. It felt very personal. Oh, my God. Like, that movie.
What a disaster.
It's a disaster.
And they thought that, they thought that they were, like, launching a huge franchise.
Because they left it open at the end.
Yeah.
Like, who, you
well,
know,
was it going to be
Jay
like an
Frankenstein?
Frankenstein? Dracula.
You Frankenstein. They Frankenstein.
Aaron Eckhart.
Who Frankenstein?
Who's Frankenstein? But Bill Nighy in that movie, anyways, is the fancy man who, that wonderful thing, like Christopher Walken and Geely. Are they aware that they're in a movie? Did they just walk in? They're like, say something British. And he's like, all right. And then they're like, say something sciency. And then he does that. And then he just steals a bunch of food from craft services and goes home.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of... Anyways.
By the way, I'm pretty sure...
always the fancy guy.
I'm pretty sure you hold the record for number of Geely references anyone has made ever.
Wait,
when you said...
I feel bad. I say it like when everyone's like, oh yeah, Christopher Walken and Geely.
When you were evasive about your wheelhouse,
yeah.
Did you mean it was Geely?
I think it might mean only Geely.
Yeah.
The films of Martin Brest are really speak to me.
Titanic and Geely and The Jinx is what your wheelhouse
The
is.
Jinx. Oh, man. Yeah, I have to unsubscribe from HBO now because I told myself I would do it when Big Little Lies was over. But unfortunately, I do want to watch The Jinx again.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. I've seen it 9 times, but it's time to see it 10 times.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to cross over into double digits, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well. Oh, yeah.
Alien.
Back to Alien.
Yeah,
the movie.
To Alien. I just want to keep harping that I just love how persistent she is. Because, like, everyone keeps being like, no, Ripley, shut up. We got to save this life. And she's just like, no, you're putting us all in danger.
Yeah, she doesn't doubt herself.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Also impressive was how white the white areas of the ship were constantly, given how dirty and nasty the rest of the ship was.
Right.
And that there was no cleaning crew. There were no fingerprints.
What was the janitorial situation there?
I would have loved, I tweeted about this morning and got so many actuallys from dudes. I was like, I'm taking this down. Fine. Because I was like, it's too pristine. This and Discovery One from 2001.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like pristine white spaceship interiors.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm filthy, but I have white walls, and I gotta touch those up from time to time.
Right. They turn to eggshell.
Yeah,
they do.
And especially if you're going from moon ore into pods, no footprints, no nothing. Come on.
Yeah. And then the dirty parts are like
very dirty,
disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially when there's
distribute that dirt a little bit.
Jizz blood
the ship.
Mm-hmm. Spraying everywhere.
There's jizz blood. There's
acid blood.
Who's cleaning it?
And which just eventually you got enough jizz blood, enough acid blood. You know, there's got to be acid jizz someplace.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or what acid jazz, just pretty much the same. Did you know that the genre of music in the cantina in Star Wars is called jizz?
Jizz?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's straight up jizz. Ooh, that's smooth rock and jizz right there. Yeah.
Oh man, I want to be a jizz player.
Jizz.
I want to play some jizz.
Super into jizz.
Super into jizz music, guys.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, if someone asks you what you're like, they're like, "What do you listen to?" You're like,
jizz,
"I love jizz."
What is it?
They're like, "Oh, we're just getting to it."
Is it called jizz in the way that like elevator music is called like muzak? Is that
maybe? I don't know. It's just it's one of those like the world sort of the Star Wars world. I'm disappointing Aristotle so intensely because it means so much more to him than me.
He's busy thinking about double flaps.
Yeah.
Aristotle's putting on his triggered hat right now.
Yeah, it's people love Star Wars so much they've just created every question that could be asked about Star Wars has been answered someplace and agreed upon.
In the Star Wars universe, that's what that type of music is
called.
Okay.
Like no one, there's never a scene where somebody's like, hey, what are those fools playing in the corner? And someone else is like, don't you know that's jizz? it's just something that you know if you Google it, that's the answer you'll get.
I get it.
Ripley's self-assurance I found very compelling and good to watch. You know, it's great to see a female character like that, but it did make it harder for me to relate to her. I'm like, you know, because she's so good at her job and so on it and knows the rules backwards and forwards, but I don't know, like, and this isn't even a criticism, but it's, you know, I'm pretty good at my job, but I feel like I only hesitate. Like there's so many, you know, points in any day where you're just like like there was, I don't know, maybe I would have like to maybe see like a crack, like in a character of any gender, though.
Well, I think that it also it's a little bit more justified in the sequel when she's already gone through all of this, and
right.
So she's not she has more, even more reason to be like, no, I'm
like
sure.
Hardened.
You really got to listen
there.
To me.
Yeah.
This is going to suck.
But this is her first rodeo in regards to a lot of jizz, right?
The music? Or
oh, no, not the music. Oh, okay. The explosive milk blood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is where, again, in the sequel, you know, when she's confronted with an android, she's like, I hate you guys. No, I'm not going to. You can't be on the ship. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but I'm a nice one. And he does end up being
he ends
nice
up pretty,
being
pretty nice.
But also, we do see his jizz blood, too. But I think one of the weirdest scenes in the movie that I was like, we don't need this, was the magazine rape.
Yeah, I was very, I guess he was choking her.
Yeah, but that's
like
a weird way to choke somebody. Like, you got hands, man. If you have hands to hold a rolled up magazine and try to shove it in a woman's mouth, you have hands to wrap around her neck and choke her that way.
That speaks volumes.
Thank you.
I did also.
You can
find
put it
that
on a pin. It's going to be a long one, though.
It's two pins. I'm going to have to distribute it.
Yeah, I found that to be a very confusing way to try to like suffocate or kill someone.
I think that there was just a nut. They were like, we've gone a couple minutes without rape imagery. What can we do? Yeah. Oh, I know.
They're like, let's pay tribute to the genre traditionally.
Huh.
You can't break too many barriers.
Because, it wouldn't suffocate her. You can still, because it's a rolled up magazine. So it's a tube.
She gets.
I mean, it would hurt. It would be uncomfortable. Also, were her arms pinned down? Why was she not? Get off me, dummy.
I think she was.
That feels like an easy thing to fight off.
Right.
I mean, not easy.
Especially
but
then when
everybody comes in and
Parker. So I don't know if like robots have super strength or what.
If they do, then again, choke her.
Yeah,
that's a much better. It. I mean,
I like how we're advocating for a woman to be choked.
It's
choke
just a very
choker.
It's like
your bare hands,
scene.
You son of a bitch.
This happens in every episode at some point.
It's like the
rom coms.
Like Ridley Scott or whoever made this choice was like challenging themselves to like, what's a more creative way? What's a more out of the box way to get a rape on the screen? Like, we've already had the face hugger. Jeez, what's next?
Where
I
to?
Guess, yeah, this magazine thing.
Now, let's talk about the part where John Hurt, a man, gets essentially impregnated by an alien species and then essentially gives birth to it.
Sure. Beautiful.
Did
a beautiful thing
it?
In any man's life.
It's just a natural
it's
part.
A special time.
I gotta say, as someone who is terrified at the just very idea of childbirth, I really enjoyed having to see a man sort of go through with it.
Yeah.
See, but it's like, now you know the pain.
It seemed less painful to me than the idea of actual childbirth. Because it came through his chest.
Yeah.
Not his nanny or his cuckoo.
Right.
And he had the benefit of dying.
Yeah.
Not having to raise it.
That would have been fun, though, if he was like, sorry, guys, I got to go. I got somebody to take care of now.
My alien
scurried
has
after
soccer.
The alien.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many just like sources of horror in this movie that don't come just from like this big alien attacking people, which is one of the reasons. I mean, just
it's the nannies and the cuckoos.
Right.
That's where all the grossness comes. That's where all the terror comes from.
I mean,
and it really, that bummed me out because I was like, oh no, are pussies like intrinsically terrifying? Because like when they went into the, it was an alien ship they went into, right? When they leave their ship. And
I think
they go
that
into,
they did it. Yeah. They go in,
and because there's like there's the space jockey there. And it looks terrifying. And I was like, if they had walked into a thing that was like full of broken glass and like swords and sticks, all point, it would have been more physically dangerous, but it would not be as terrifying.
Right.
It wouldn't cause as much like terror and uncomfortability as this thing that's like, looks like pussies.
Right.
Like they're walking into two huge vaginas and then the walls are all, you know.
The production design is very,
Geiger.
Very spooky.
Geiger's a real weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a real pervert.
For sure. Well, that must have been, they were like, we got to make this movie. Ooh, you know who's a perv?
Yeah.
We should call good old
who's
HR.
No,
he'll really creep it up
that
for us. But yeah, and so I was,
because
like, you know how humans are like hardwired to hate snakes?
Yeah.
And the shh in any language will get attention. And with most animals, too. Like, if you're having trouble with your cat, And you're like, get off the counter. And he just won't listen. Try throwing a shh at him.
Oh,
they really don't like it. Yeah. Because it sounds like a snake. And everything that has evolved, this is what I have read, that everything that's evolved now and that is currently an existing species, we're the ones who have not been murdered by snakes.
Uh-huh.
Among other things,
sure.
Other predators. But snakes are the ones that they're just all over the place. They're trying to get everybody. So we are hardwired to dislike snakes. Also, the way they move, because we can't figure out how they move. So
except
we're like,
for like neighborhood weed dealers who love snakes.
Well, yeah, but
them as pets.
But even that, I feel like those people are like doing it to test themselves. They're
no one has a pet snake and doesn't tell everyone about it.
Yeah. But in the same way, I was like, oh no, are we hardwired to be grossed out by pussies?
Coming from someone who does not find pussies sexually attractive, I'm not sure. I'm not grossed out by them, even though they are disgusting.
See?
Dicks are much grosser, though, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had some gross dicks in there, too. I mean, their heads, that's like, come on, take a second pass. That's just so obvious. It's like double dicks.
it's like Aristotle's double flaps.
Yeah, double dicks.
The scene where after the face hugger alien has like dislodged itself from John Hurt's face and cummed all into his throat,
And it's dead now.
It's dead, and they're like kind of poking and prodding at it to be like,
and it's like, stop! I can't right now.
Yeah,
I just jizzed all down that guy's throat.
Give me a minute.
Just need a few minutes.
I mean, it's very vaginal / vulvic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring that word into just,
Is that a word?
Isn't that a bottled water?
Can I can I stick poke that word into my leg so I don't forget
as
it?
As I often say, whenever people say vagina, what they mean to say is vulva.
Is vulva.
Vagina is the inside part. Yeah. It's like saying throat when you mean neck.
Exactly. Or throat when you mean face. Or mouth or something. I don't know. Anyway, vulvic is a new word that is a thing now. So you're welcome, everybody.
Mm.
The end. Okay.
Kaylin, I loved that story.
Thank you. Hey, does anyone have any like final thoughts about the movie?
If you haven't seen it yet, well,
we've ruined it.
Yeah, it's ruined for you. But you should see it.
If you're a fan of Goop. If you're a fan of Sigourney Weaver.
Or a fine-looking Tom Skerritt. Really looking like that hot history teacher. Right?
Yeah. If you're a fan of deceptive fancy men. It's a fun movie. As a person that's not that into the genre, I enjoyed this movie.
Mm-hmm. Good. I want to say that I did enjoy very much that the last three surviving characters are two women and a black guy,
because
all the other four white dudes, they're like,
bye,
yeah.
That was
it
fun.
Hubris? Who knows? But they got dead.
They got their die on.
They got dead.
That's all that matters. As long as they get dead.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, does the movie pass the Bechdel test?
I say yes with flying colors.
With flying colors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about whether or not it passes, because I do agree that it does. There's a couple different scenes where Ripley and Lambert talk to each other.
But Mother, when she throw Mother in there, that's where I'm talking flying colors.
Sure, okay.
Because she's never like, Mother, how's Dallas?
Yeah.
I'm worried about his feelings. She's like, shut this down. What are we doing?
Mother, sometimes I feel like I'm never going to start dating.
Mother, it's going to make a weird period joke. All right.
Something's happening to my body.
Yeah, can you explain
chest
the burster?
There's a scene toward the beginning whenever they have woken up and they're like, where are we even? Ripley is like, that's not our system. We're not in the right solar system or whatever.
Yeah, that's the first clue that things are wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Lambert is like, I know that. So that's a conversation.
I know.
Where two women are talking about not a man. And then later on, the other part that I noted where it passes the test is when it's after Dallas dies and Ripley's like, we're just going to proceed with Dallas's plan. We're going to try to trap this alien in like the air vents.
Yeah, and get the alien where we can't see it and it has access to the entire ship.
Yeah.
It's a great plan.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And then Lambert's like, and end up dead like the others? You're out of your mind. And Ripley's like, you got a better idea? And then she's like, yeah, let's abandon the ship. And everyone's like, no.
No.
So that's a conversation. But like, there may be other scenes where it passes the test, but those are the only two that I really
noticed. Those are the ones
noticed.
I picked up on too, but I also wrote down Mother?
Question mark? Mother? I don't know if I'm willing to count Mother.
Oh, come on. First of all, it was named, which is part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just like computer. And they decided to gender it. They could have called it X57.
True.
And in 2001, it's Hal. It's a
dude.
Do
you think Hal and Mother...
They fuck.
Big time.
In SpongeBob SquarePants, it's Karen.
Oh.
Plankton's computer wife.
Ooh. Cool.
So anyways, I'm more of a cartoon person than a person.
There's a computer friend in that movie Moon as well that Kevin Spacey voices.
A computer friend.
I forget what his name is, though.
I just remember that the landing pod that he's waiting for is Eliza.
Ooh.
So through the whole movie, they're like, Eliza is a lot closer. And I'm like, stop.
Hi.
I won't get there if you keep saying it.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, so the movie passes the Bechdel test. We are now going to rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Ooh.
So we have a scale that is 0 to 5 nipples.
Uh-oh.
We rate it based on it.
Who is that? That's not right.
It is me.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a great scale to be rating a movie on. And
I feel like you should never have nipples in fives. That's not the number that they should ever come in.
It's like a peg leg of nipples. Sometimes you just got one, and then the other one is wooden.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's not the same, but it gets the job done.
So it's like 3.5 women.
Three. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I give it 3.5 women.
Is that your real?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Wait. Assuming that women have 2 nipples
mm-hmm.
each. So wait, that's like seven
nipples.
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
3.5 times 2 is 7.
I said 2.5.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 3.5.
Did I say?
I will never know. There's no way to go back and listen to us.
You listeners, you know.
Okay,
yeah,
2.5 women.
I will say that this most recent viewing, and some of them, I feel like this is a movie. This is so gross. This is a movie you got to see on the big screen. And I tried to watch this during the day in my apartment, flooded with light.
I waited for night.
Yeah. I'm giving it an idealized 5.
I'm going to... Maybe
don't give it a half nipple.
It.
I'm gonna walk out.
I'm gonna give it a whole number.
Okay.
And it is. I think I'm gonna give it a 4 based on its portrayal of the women in it. I do think Ripley is a total badass. I like that she is very persistent and she's intuitive. She knows. I mean, maybe it's women's intuition. Is that even a thing? I don't know. Do I have any?
I've never
I don't
made
think
a mistake. So.
She's just
smart.
Right. She's smart. She's good at her job. And she is persistent. And I really enjoy seeing that on screen.
She's sort of an Elizabeth Warren type, is what her?
She, yeah.
Nevertheless,
and yet,
she's persistent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I don't know how quotes work. Yeah. If I had any, like... complaints about it, I guess. I don't know. I was like maybe hoping to see the relationship with the other female character to be like a little less hostile, but that's not really who Ripley is. So I'm just like nitpicking here. I think it maybe deserves a 5 nipple. Hmm. I'm not sure. Get back to me. I'll tell you in a month.
Okay. I'm going to give it 4, but they're all sliced down the middle. Like,
oh, no.
Like little
What's
peanut butter and jelly
with these
sandwiches.
Monsters?
Just no crusts on the nipples.
Well, there shouldn't be crust on them either. I mean, I support that
detail. I
don't
like crust.
Well, no one has like, crusty nipples.
I just...
what are they, in a bucket? How is this? Oh, God.
4 of them, and then you just... like a
Wait, what's the name of the production designer who
H.R. Geiger.
That's who also production designs this podcast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, crusty
production
nipples.
Designs my brain.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
He's like,
sliced in half.
Put a little crust in there.
Yeah.
That's his famous quote. For me, he has a 4 because I like the genderless aspect to all of the characters, but
that means that we don't really get a lot of perspective on gender in the way that a five nipple movie usually gives us.
Well, maybe the perspective is it gets to be defined by the individual.
Right.
That's true.
Maybe, yeah, maybe this movie.
Hello. Just to be clear, Eliza is raising the roof right now.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, maybe one day we'll all live in a society where our gender doesn't even need to be recognized.
Probably not.
We're like 4 or 5 months away from Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've not seen that, but I did recently see A Knight's Tale, so I think I'm caught up.
Same thing.
Haven't seen the Hulu one, but I highly recommend the book.
Mm-hmm. The book is terrific. Yeah,
very much upset you right now. It feels like a not too far away dystopian future. Mm.
Ooh. What am I going to recommend this week? I'm going to recommend season 2 of Golden Girls and The Jinx. Preferably.
What, do you like The Jinx?
Back to back to back to back.
That's
to back.
Impressive.
Yes. The Jinx. Cool. I have a Jinx viewing planned with my friend this weekend, and it's the best way to watch The Jinx is The Jinx with no bathroom breaks.
Oh.
Right.
So do you guys talk during it at all, or is there no speaking?
It's more like screaming.
Okay. But if you scream at the same time, do you ever...
Well, I've never watched it with this person before. I love it.
I was about to launch into a very long explanation of like, well, sometimes, you know, if it's someone you've watched it with before. And
I work with a bunch of British people because of The Late Late Show and then also this spinoff show that I worked on. The British people like employing other British people, but there's a lot of that kind of stuff about American culture they don't know.
Jinx?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So... I lied a lot about the different things that you could get done with a jinx.
That's great.
Yep. Oh, yep.
I love a good, like, slow burn white lie that'll embarrass them, like, months in the future.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I got him, a showrunner on the show, very nice guy, but I got him so nervous about what phrases were actually not used here that he would be like, well, I'm going to go get a mug of coffee. Do you say that? Do you say mug here?
No, no, no.
What
no.
is that?
A bin of coffee.
Yeah.
Wait, I just thought of something else about the movie that I have to say. It takes longer for the alien fetus to, like, gestate in John Hurt's chest than it does for the baby to reach adulthood.
That's why you know
insane.
that's a precious life. Yeah. Even
right.
when it's inside. I mean...
Life begins...
A face hug
whenever a weird alien species comes into your throat mm-hmm. and plants a baby in your chest. Mm-hmm.
It's just like mommy told you.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is ripe, dirty talk, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next time you're with the fella, tell him you want him to plant his alien seed in your guts.
In your
face
in your guts.
Hug me.
I shudder to think how many different disturbing ways a man could interpret that sentence.
Face hung me.
Oh, good. Also, since it sounds like you guys are kind of new to H.R. Giger, this is like kind of the first time you hear the mark of a real creepy dorm room, a Giger poster.
Ooh, interesting.
What other movies has he done?
It's not a movie. Like you could, if you Google him, you'll find like lots of concept art. I am.
Okay.
And when I was in school, at least, they would have those poster fairs mm-hmm. for all the kids to go and decorate their posterless rooms. Uh-huh. And there was always a bunch of Giger stuff.
Every poster in a college room is a warning
sign. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm very
creepy,
horny.
Right?
No.
I'm so horny, baby.
Yes. For these sticky robots. It's just a bunch of sticky robots.
My college roommate had a cardboard cutout of Major Payne in our room for a full year. And I never asked her how she got it. But eventually, like, it started next to her bed, which I didn't like. But then it started to inch out into the room, which I really didn't like. And then at some point, I was like, I like it. You won me over.
Eliza, mm-hmm. thanks a ton for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Eliza Skinner. Or on Instagram at eSkins. Shouldn't have done that. Should have made it all the same thing, but I didn't. And they can listen to my podcast, Angry Little Goats.
That's right. Hey, what's making you a happy little goat today?
Oh, wow. Today.
You don't have to answer.
Well, I mean, I recommend The Handmaid's Tale, but I feel like I've done that a lot. Actually, I really want to go watch all of the Alien movies now, because also the new one coming out, I'm very excited for. I'm hoping it will be a redemption from the awful Prometheus.
Bleh.
Boy, was that bad.
I have not seen Alien 3
Ooh,
or
that's
4.
The one with, was it Charles S. Dutton?
I'm not sure.
It's the one where she's in like space jail. Just a shave her head and everybody's tough.
Hey, bald, space a bald lady.
The bald women rule.
Bald women rule. She's in charge.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
I think at that point she's a clone. They start cloning Ripley, I believe, starting in the third movie.
Because she's
maybe in the fourth
best
one.
Suited to fuck up all these aliens.
Yep, exactly.
Does Sigourney Weaver count as women in STEM for this one?
I think so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think she's a science officer.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She's a STEM head.
I thought of another bald woman movie, which is
I love that this theory actually works.
I don't know if it works.
Bald women are in charge.
It's
the baldest woman in the movie is usually
in charge.
It's the
Loftus test.
It's the Loftus test. What
who is bald?
What about Empire Records? Does that ruin it?
Oh, you know what? I have not seen that movie in so long that I don't remember who was in it or what they look like.
I recently tweeted about loving dramatic haircuts in movies, and so all these people were like sending me head shaving scenes, and I was like, well, I didn't mean that. I meant grab your hair, scissors, slick. That's I like that.
Mulan gets her hair cut with a fucking sword.
Yeah. The movie I was thinking of was V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah.
Gets a head shave in that.
Yep. Another bald.
But is she in charge? She's kind of in charge of her own life, so maybe.
I would argue that she's an authority figure. I mean, she's not the authority figure, but she's
didn't work for Britney.
No. Hey, leave Britney alone.
There's haha.
Okay.
I still think it's a triumph that she survived that year.
I think she's great. I'm going to Vegas for the first time next month, and I'm like, I really want to go see Britney. I really do.
You know, I understand it. I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Oh no.
It's not a great show.
She looks so tired.
Yeah. You feel like. Like, you're like, oh, you didn't have to do this for me, Brittany. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to make you. And also, when they line up her songs like that, like one after another, you realize that it's like one, it spells out like cut out newspaper letter style, like a huge cry for help.
Oh,
it's just like the songs are basically all like, I'm a sexy baby and no one listens to me or knows what I want or feel. I'm like, ooh,
how long has it been since Brittany's actually felt that way?
Like a sexy baby?
Like I said, I feel like she still does feel like a sexy baby.
Yeah, I feel like she's like the message of all of her songs are basically like, you just want to fuck me. That's it.
I might still go see it.
Yeah, and I don't want to tell you not to take pictures with her costumes, but also you do know that Mind Freak is there too.
Oh, shit. I'm only there for 3 days.
I would say.
Wait, what's Mind Freak? Is that?
That's Chris
Mind
Angel.
I am the Mind Freak.
I was recently considering going there just to like line up a bunch of magic shows and just.
Oh, that's cool.
Go see a bunch of magic shows.
Dude,
I'm that kind of dork.
Would love to see Mind Freak. I used to love that show. I don't know why, but Mind Freak was a. Mind Freak was my shit. And I used to love the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
So we're finding out about your wheelhouse.
My wheelhouse.
It's garbage.
It's
whatever is trash.
My wheelhouse fucking sucks.
I like how this episode has become like the last half hour of Lord of the Rings Return of the King, where every time you think it's over.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
We keep going. No, I've had so much fun.
Thank you again,
Eliza, for being here.
You're welcome.
My favorite movie is Doubt. A wonderful time. Go see the new Alien movie. It might be good. All right.
Bye.